followers of the Good Shepherd, just waiting to go home. You've just sung the 23rd Psalm twice already in this service, and it's printed out for you in the service folder. It's no doubt the most familiar and the most favorite of all the Psalms. But I wonder if you thought about the fact that that Psalm sort of walks through how Jesus, your Good Shepherd, takes you through life all the way home. He makes you lie down in green pastures, because otherwise you'd run around like crazy, ignoring your physical and your spiritual well-being. Have you ever thought about the fact that in worship, Jesus is just getting you to sit down and rest for a minute and to feed on the green pasture of his word? The word Sabbath, remember, means rest. He leads you beside quiet waters, because life is hectic, and you need a sense of tranquility. Think of all the beautiful promises that God has given you to calm your anxious heart when life gets scary. Did you ever think of your baptism when you hear that expression, quiet waters? He restores your soul, because day after day your soul is assaulted by lies and by fears and by doubts. When you don't have any more strength, any more energy, then he renews your faith. He regains for you a sense of perspective. And this morning once more, when you receive Jesus' body and blood in the sacrament, he will restore your soul. He guides you in the paths of righteousness, because there are decisions and temptations that could throw your life so far off track. You hear his voice like the gentle tap of a shepherd's staff to keep you in line. That voice you may hear in your conscience, reminding you what's right, what's true, what's good. Sometimes that voice sounds like your parents or your teacher or your pastor. Often it's just a Bible passage you once memorized that God recalls for you when you need to hear that truth. You remember what Jesus said in the gospel lesson? My sheep listen to my voice, and you recognize his voice. Have you walked through the valley of the shadow of death? Maybe with a loved one over weeks, even months? Or maybe it was your own ill health that cast the shadow of death across your heart? If you've served in the military or in law enforcement, you understand what the valley of the shadow of death is. But you're never in that valley alone. The Good Shepherd is with you. His rod reminds you of his almighty power that drives away the evil spirits that would haunt your deathbed. And the pain in your life is like the shepherd's staff tapping you on the shoulder, a reminder that even in the worst of times, your Good Shepherd is right there with you. He gave his life for the sheep, and then he rose from the dead so that you don't have to fear death. It's just the entrance to eternal life with him. And as you heard in the gospel lesson again, Jesus said, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. The table he prepares before you, like the banquet table in Jesus' wedding parables, is a reminder that eternal life is a celebration of all his goodness for you. In the presence of your enemies who scoff at your faith, he anoints your head with oil, symbolic of your being identified as an heir to royalty. And people put oil on their hair as a way of getting ready for a great celebration. That's what eternal life is going to be. And then the psalm ends with words that summarize your whole life. Put this on my tomb. Goodness and love followed him all the days of his life, and he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the house of the Lord forever. That's where we pick up the story of the Good Shepherd in Revelation chapter 7, which once more identifies Jesus as our shepherd and reminds us that he guides us all the way home. The words are on the screen, portion of Revelation 7. You can kind of look around in the vision that God gave John. What do you see? thousands upon thousands of people in white robes who have come across centuries and across national boundaries. They are recognizably different because God loves ethnic diversity. He created people with different color, different personality, different gifts. And while those things cause us problems here on earth, in heaven, those differences are celebrated. Jesus, by the testimony of his people, has rescued people from pagan darkness and Hindu confusion and Islamic delusion. He's the Savior of the world. So you and I could hardly claim some kind of monopoly on his love. Because there's no racism in heaven, Christians denounce racism here on earth. But look again at that throng, and you'll notice that they are recognizably similar. They're all rocking white robes. Nobody's got on a black robe of mourning. Nobody's trying to rub little stains of sin off of that robe. And nobody showed up in a suit of self-righteousness. They all washed away their sin in the blood of the Lamb and were given these white robes of righteousness, the perfection that Jesus lived in our place and that his Father attributed to us. There are no merit badges on those robes because we do nothing to earn eternal life. There are no scarlet letters worn around the neck, no shame. The saints cry out, "Salvation belongs to our God," not to us, to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. When you think about it, grace is the great equalizer, isn't it? Why would you look down on someone who's struggling with an addiction or somebody who has been brought out of sordid crime when those who turn to the Lord are going to have exactly the same white robe as you will in eternal life? And these saints are holding palm branches in their hands, symbolic of the victory that Jesus won for them and that he now shares with them. This is the church triumphant. But they were once the church militant, the fighting church, the church on earth. One of the 24 elders, representative of 12 tribes, 12 apostles, Old and New Testament believers, one of the elders says to John, "Who are these?" And John says, "Sir, you know. These are they," he says, "who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The great tribulation meant for some of them a martyr's death. Many of them suffered horrible cruelty under the hands of a despot. Some of them had to believe in the face of a godless philosophy like communism, or maybe like atheistic Darwinism. You know, when you think about it, our tribulation isn't much in comparison to what Christians over the centuries have suffered. And yet, we too know what it means to live in a world that has been cursed by sin. This reminder of the Great Tribulation is so that we understand this secular world is not our friend. Life isn't supposed to be easy. And heaven is your home. And so pray for your brothers and sisters in faith who are in the midst of the Great Tribulation today in the Middle East or in North Africa. Pray for our children who are sitting in college classrooms where everything that is dear to us is denied, or who are pressured by peers and the media to give in to selfish sex. But don't despair. Look once more as John did, because these are they who came out of the Great Tribulation. They struggle no more. They suffer no more. And you and I will once join them. Do you recognize any faces in that throng? Maybe a child who was called home to heaven before you were ready to say goodbye? A husband or a wife that you had hoped to spend more golden years with here on earth? Maybe you recognize the face of a Sunday school teacher who made Bible stories come alive for you when you were a child. Or the face of somebody at work who kept asking you religious questions until finally the Holy Spirit won him over with the simple truth that you had to share. There will be people who know you in heaven that you don't know. Let me explain with the words of a song by Christian recording artist Ray Bolles called Thank You. He sings, and I won't. I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running. He was smiling as he came. He said, remember the time a missionary's pictures made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. And the refrain goes, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I can't really evaluate the claims of near-death experience that are followed by an experience of heaven. You remember maybe the book Heaven is for Real. But then again, we don't really need the experience of another human being when we have the very Word of God. If God wants to give people a vision like he gave John, then praise be to him. But one of the things I've noticed in all these different accounts of a near-death experience is that next to being with Jesus, the peak experience is recognizing family and friends from here on earth. Does that say something to you? You and I, like the Good Shepherd, need to look for lost sheep. We should be reminding and encouraging, challenging and confronting, because we want to spend eternity with the people we care about. Never stop praying for the people who have wandered from the faith. So, what are these people in white robes doing in eternal life? Well, what John describes is mostly what they're not doing, right? They're not hungering, they're not crying, they're not hurting. What they're doing is enjoying the bliss of God's presence and the perfection of everlasting life. You know, when you think about it, that suggests a couple of things at least. One is that you can't really enjoy what you can't share with Jesus. It's the devil's lie that you can take what God calls sin and turn it into your happiness. It won't work. But the second thing that I think you can take from what those saints in heaven experience is that God wants you to enjoy his love. And if we could just get past some of the problems and the fears and the headaches, we might see how many things he's blessed us with. And like the saints in heaven, we could enjoy God's presence in our life. John says that those saints in heaven are serving God day and night. It means that they're not sitting on fluffy clouds, sitting in one long choir rehearsal. They're getting stuff done. You see, eternal life after Jesus returns is a physical experience, and it's a meaningful existence. In his parable of the talents, suggested I think elsewhere in other parables, faithful stewardship here on earth is preparation for more responsible stewardship in eternity. So if the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus will usher in is sort of like the Garden of Eden, then I guess we're going to be taking care of God's creation, and we'll be discovering and inventing, and we're going to be organizing and leading. Wow. Then it seems to me the message here is, don't be afraid to take on responsibility. There are too many people who are running away from it. God is with you, and he will prepare you. Push yourself out of your comfort zone to develop some leadership ability. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Volunteer. But more than anything, what those saints in heaven are doing is praising and thanking God. Remember, we praise God for who he is, and we thank him for what he's done for us. And you're sitting there in the middle of absolute perfection, in the presence of God, and you know that this is all because of his grace. Well, then you've got plenty of reason to praise and to thank. So if a mediocre preacher and some liturgical chant that's a little difficult gets in the way of your worship here, that's okay. Heaven will fix it. And if your mind wandered during the sermon, I understand. Won't have that problem in heaven. There's a lot of things to look forward to, like no longer having to wrestle with my sinful nature, with finally being able to see things the way God sees them. But more than anything, we look forward to really getting worship right, to join saints and angels in praising God the way He deserves. In Revelation 7, this is how they do it. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. That's printed on the top of page 8 in your service folder. Why don't we practice what we're going to do in eternal life, huh? Chant this with me. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Yes. Amen.